This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, Willamette Valley, Salem, Kaiser. What a fabulous Willamette Valley day. So all of us in Marion and Polk counties that can hear Newsmakers, welcome to the show. We're with you every weekday, noon to one, talking about local events, local ideas and institutions and individuals and initiatives. So this is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne in the KYKN studios. And today, one of my favorite topics was downtown, of course. And we're going to talk about some of the great things that are happening downtown and specifically about the Salem Conference Center, Convention Center. I got to get used to that. Salem Convention Center. So it's a one, it's a quite a presence. It's quite an impact in Salem. It's kind of an economic driver in Salem. It's got a great history. And frankly, I think it is special in a ways that a lot of convention centers don't cannot brag about. So I have invited in two charming guests to elucidate the entire topic today. So we've got the general manager, Chrissy Birch, and we've got the director of sales. Is that right? I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. Kara Campanzano. Thank you. And we're going to talk all things Conference Center. This goes back to the early 2000s, mm-hmm. honestly. Welcome, by the way, ladies.
Thank you.
So make sure we can hear both of your voices. And I just can't say enough about what this has done for downtown. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about all the people you bring in, both from around this area and outside the area, and all the services and all that stuff. Why don't we give a quick history? So how long have you been there, Chrissy?
I have been there since about 6 months after we opened. I've been with Vips Industries, who's the managing partner, for actually 30 years. And I switched over from the hotel division to the convention center about 6 months after we opened.
6 months after, wow. Mm-hmm. Practically day one.
Yeah,
so
day
one. You know all of the skeletons.
Yeah.
You know all the growing pains and everything that happened to get it done on launch. Yep. Well, good for you. Well, you're a warehouse of knowledge. Sometimes I go at guests and I just want to do oral histories on them.
Yeah.
We had Jackie Winters on early this week, and I just thought, hey, we need to download her brain.
Yeah.
She has so much about the community for decades.
I bet she does.
So, Kara, you joined the staff. I remember that happening. How many years ago was that?
2.5 years ago, so the summer of 2016.
Okay, 2016. Your job is to bring people in.
That's right.
That's right. Okay, so let's go back. We give a lot of credit to Mayor Janet Taylor mm-hmm. for getting this done and getting it open. In fairness, it had started with the previous council before her and the previous mayor before her, and lots of negotiations, some naysayers, some people who didn't think it was going to work, thought it would be a catastrophe for downtown and the parking situation and blah, 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 too much money and so forth. So they went out and they bonded about $33 million, I think, because he's nodding. Can't hear on the radio, but yeah.
Sorry, yes.
Okay. here's the concern. With a conference center or convention center, a lot of times it's publicly owned, and a lot of them don't make money. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that still true in this economy?
I think very true.
So a lot of them run into deficit, and they do so in order to bring visitors to the town and hopefully garner some visitors' taxes and bring people to community and economic development, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
But ours is a little bit different. I know that there had to be a reserve fund. Now, this is a public-private partnership, which is hard to understand, which is one of the reasons I wanted you on the radio today. So you work for Vips Industries.
Yes.
Okay. Vips Industries is a contractor, correct?
Yes.
And the contract is to run the place.
Right. And they're also the owner of the adjoining hotel and the adjoining Bentley's Grill.
Bentley's Grill and the Grand. What a wonderful hotel
that is.
I've spent many a night in the Grand, especially if I'm downtown and I'm at an event. This would be an idea for all of you people. If you're at an event, you're downtown, and the holidays or whatever it is, spend the night downtown. It's really great.
It's beautiful.
You get a room. You can have some wine with your dinner and not worry about driving.
That's right.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. So Vips owns the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Vips owns Bentley's.
Mm-hmm.
They're attached to this conference center, but it's a separate entity.
Yes.
Okay. Different employees.
Well, we are all employed by Vips, but yes, we have three complete separate entities and try very, very hard to operate as one. Because if you are a guest coming to either one of those entities, you don't care, or maybe coming for all three, coming for a conference, staying in the hotel, eating at the restaurant, or being in our downtown, you don't care that we're three entities. You care for that one experience of being on the block and having it be seamless.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Indeed. All right. So, but the buildings are attached. They're separate ownership.
Yes.
Is this a condominiumized thing?
Yes.
So, even
it's kind of where the marble the marble meets the terrazzo, private versus public. Yeah,
the marble meets the terrazzo.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Sorry, yeah.
That's not the last time I'm going to say that. Can
okay.
I steal that? Is
yes,
that yours?
You can. Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, but then VIPS is hired as an entity to manage the conference room, conference center, convention center.
Convention.
They did change the name probably a couple years ago, and I'm still, you know, tripping over my tongue. Right.
Sure.
Sorry about that. And there was a reserve fund that was set up as part of the public-private partnership that made sure to protect the public and the taxpayers and should there be operational shortfalls. And they filled those coffers during the first few years because since the very first year, it was profitable. Is that right?
Correct.
That is wild.
It's been a great ride.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, most startup businesses, any business has startup pains and, you know, you're financing and you're doing this and you have to tell people who you are and get new people in and you have to all the training and startup costs and you are, and you're profitable the very first year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, and profitable since? So you've been a ride up and down?
Oh, no. We've been, matter of fact, the last 3 years, we will have record-breaking years for the last 3 years, sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you counting visitors or are you counting dollars?
Dollars. I'm the general manager, so I count revenue.
All right. How many employees are working in the conference center?
We have probably 65 to 75, depending on our season. Probably 25 of those are full-time. And then the rest are part-time.
All right. Well, this is a huge success story, folks. If you're not familiar with the Conference Center, because I would say I am probably at an event at the Conference Center three times a month, probably on average. So I'm very familiar with it. And the menu never gets tired. Seems like it changes all the time.
Thank
you've got
you.
Great chefs. Mm-hmm. You go to an event with 600 people, and you're like, how did you make them eat just so? How did you do 600 of these at the same time? It's amazing.
And we're blessed. He's been there since we opened.
Wow.
So.
Wow. All right. Well, I won't say anything that caused you to have him give him a raise or anything, but maybe you should give him a raise. Okay. So that's what I want the public to understand. We've got this combined building, but one entity that runs it all, and he runs it on behalf of the city.
Correct.
And then the city, how does the city get its profits? So to make a profit on it?
No.
So it just owns it and the VIPS Industries maintains the building as well.
Correct. If we make a profit, or which we have every year, that money deposits straight into our gain loss reserve, which is set up to then reinvest back into the convention center. So if we have a capital improvement or a major breakage of something, that's what that money is strictly for.
All right. I was going to get to that.
Sorry.
Well, that's good because, like, who pays for the next HVAC system, right? Because those aren't cheap.
Right.
And who pays when it's time to change the room decor?
Right.
And paint and the carpet.
Right.
And the terrazzo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the marble.
And the marble.
That is great. We're talking to Chrissy Birch. She's the general manager of the Salem Convention Center. And we also have Kara Capozzano, who's the director of sales. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how many people we're serving, where they're coming from, how you can utilize it, what kind of events, large and small, you can do at the Salem Convention Center. You're listening to Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Morin, and this is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Morin, presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers at the noon hour here on KYKN. This is Brent DeHart, here where we talk about local individuals that make things happen in Salem. And good things happen in Salem primarily. We like to talk about positive things. We got enough things. I mean, as soon as the television goes on in the morning or the radio goes on, there's enough bad things to listen to and get worried about and get angry about. And then here we come with KYKN in the news hour, and we get to talk about great things in Salem. So we're talking about downtown again. As you know, if you're a listener, I love downtown Salem, and I love shopping down and supporting downtown and eating downtown. And so we're talking about the Salem Convention Center. It opened in, 2003? We've got Chrissy Birch here with us, Kara Capozzano, and we're about to tax Kara with a lot more talking here. She's been pretty quiet. 2003, correct?
Yeah, March 2003.
And it opened. So, boy, we're into 15 years. You have 15-year history now of profitability. Mm-hmm. All those naysayers. I just got to say, it's one of these I told you so people, because I was supportive, obviously, both in leadership at the Chamber of Commerce and leadership with City Council. This happened before I got there, but very supportive. And people are like, oh, it's going to be a nightmare, and oh, there's going to be traffic, and there's going to be people, and there's going to be issues, and this will never work, and it's going to lose money, and hooray for us.
Yes.
Hooray for us. Another example of how Salem pitches together. All right, Kara.
Yes,
so
hello.
Your job is to bring people in and come and utilize the rooms and utilize the services and eat the food.
Absolutely.
And drink the drink.
And drink, yes.
All right, so my first question for you is, of all the events that happen, how many are being booked by people who are local in, you know, this region, Marion, Polk counties?
Sure. It really just depends. You know, Salem being the capital, it's a hub for our government clients who they are local, but they bring in people from all over the state, mm-hmm. as well as the many associations that are in town. True local business, our nonprofits, our corporate businesses are about 30% of what we do.
That include like private parties, like a wedding or something like that?
Yes.
Is that included in that 30%?
Yes.
Okay, so how many of those, I love just asking people to come up with numbers off the spur of their head, so you're welcome for that. How many people come to the conference center and end up, as a percentage or round percentage, end up also utilizing a room night at an adjacent or a local hotel? At the Grand?
The Grand or local hotels. We have a few what we call citywide events where mm-hmm. they do require more lodging than just the attached Grand Hotel. About another, I would say, 30 to 40%.
Wow, that's higher than I would thought.
Yeah. Most of our associations and government clients that hold large conferences require lodging for all their travelers.
Good. Because yeah. I know, you know, a lot of events, it might be a luncheon mm-hmm. of a local nonprofit. It might be a dinner or a celebratory banquet or things like that. And people come and they eat and they drink and go home.
Yeah.
So that, you know, so the fact that you're telling me it's over 30%, maybe 40%, also includes people who are coming from out of town and staying a night. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Conventions are our bread and butter. We really like having the larger conferences that we call full facility that take our upstairs beautiful Willamette Ballroom, our downstairs Saniam Ballroom as breakout sessions, and that are multi-day, not just one day. Our ideal client is 2 to 3 days long.
2 to 3 days long and a couple hundred people or more than that?
300 to 500.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That must have an impact in the economy of downtown, because they're not just spending money inside your walls, right?
Absolutely. It has not just with our tourism occupancy tax dollars from staying at our local hotels, but also the spending that they're doing when they're shopping and when they have free times. Not all the time do they have a lunch or dinner at the convention center. So they're out and about enjoying our downtown restaurants.
Yeah, or our relatively new theater activities there, right? And grabbing a coffee, grabbing an ice cream, maybe eating outside and not outside the facility and not at Bentley's or at the convention center. So all of those things. So that's really terrific. And if you're going to be a frequent listener, transit occupancy tax, I really appreciate the fact that you said those three words instead of the acronym of TOT or TOT funds. So the TOT funds are taxes that we get when people stay in a hotel. They're, you know, if you've ever stayed in a hotel, you've seen the local taxes. So that gets collected, and it's part of the benefit to the city is to bring these people in, and they pay these taxes, and that money goes through a process that supports not just tourism promotion, which that's a huge piece of it, of course, but also our historic assets, like the Elsinore and the Bush Park and so forth. All right, just wanted to make sure the listener understood that. All right, back to the facility. What's a small group? You know, they're going to book a room. They're going to do maybe a training, right? It's a company. They're going to do a training or a speaker. What's a small? How small?
Absolutely. I just got an inquiry this afternoon while I was waiting before the show for 17 people. So we really can take groups of 5 to 10 people up to 800.
Wow.
It's just what we have available and what the client's needs are.
All right, so you have a grand ballroom, obviously, and it can be split in two, but it's grand. It is big. So for those 500 people, right? And then you have the smaller rooms, and you've got some medium-sized rooms, and you're pretty flexible in that regard.
Absolutely.
Right? So you don't have to bring 300 and 500. So it could be a company that wants to do their company, their orientations, their holiday party. Do they have to buy food and drink?
If they are going to have food and beverages at their event, they are required to go through us, but as you know, we have an outstanding executive chef who does extremely wonderful work. If they're having a seminar that doesn't have food and beverage, that's okay. They can absolutely book their event space with us as well.
Okay. Wow. So how do you go about getting them? Do I want to know? Is that a trade secret?
No. It's pounding the pavement.
There you go. Reaching out to organizations and businesses?
Absolutely. And you know, between our sales calls, efforts, having trade shows, attending trade shows around the region, meeting with clients at trade shows outside of the state, in partnership with Travel Salem and our hotels, picking up the phone and just making a phone call, and as well as taking care of our existing clients who have maybe just one event a year with us, and then they call us and say, I really need an event space for a legislative meeting I have coming up that they've never had with us before.
All right. So you mentioned something that was interesting, other hotels, because there are a lot of hotels in town that don't have any facilities, right?
Yes.
They don't have dining facilities. They don't have a chef. They can't, unless they cater in from outside. Or they may not even have the meeting room. So those aren't your competition, even though you're VIPs and you own the Grand.
Right.
Those are also partners.
They are partners. They're our friends. We call ourselves friendly competitors. We're all really close in this community, and we always refer each other business.
Oh, wow, that is terrific. All right, so small people, small people. Yeah, I can do little people too. We don't want to discriminate against little people. Small groups is what I meant to say, all the way up to huge conferences. And one of the things I started noticing happening, because everybody has a conference. Every industry has a trade association and has professional associations, and everybody has a conference, right? So it's getting them to know that Salem's here. And it has a facility, and what it has to offer, and why it's better than somewhere else. Why are we better than somewhere else?
The longevity of our staff and the ability to provide just exceptional service for the value that they get. I think that's untouchable.
Well, that's a good answer. Yeah. I like that. And the view is certainly improving. I know when it opened, we had that former concrete triangular building looking out the window. It's beautiful. You should be seeing the riverfront and this and that, and this horrible building up there that's since been taken down. And now the parkfront building is so nice. So hopefully the community effort to get that parking garage kitty corner away from you down and improved. There's so many great things. We were talking yesterday, Union Gospel Mission. And if you, for the listener who was not listening yesterday, Union Gospel Mission does get a lot of food donations from the Conference Center. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked to learn yesterday that all of the food is pretty much donated for Union Gospel Mission. So they're not going out and buying food. It's coming from food banks and from donations, and a huge chunk from you guys. And so thank you on behalf of the community of helping people that need it.
You bet. Last time they, when we were going through our LEED certification, we figured it was 660 meals a week and really high quality proteins, which I know they really appreciate. So it's a great partnership with them.
All right, we got a lot of other things to talk about. A lot of other things to talk about. We're going to have to take a quick break. So stay with us, ladies. You're listening to Newsmakers on KYKN. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart, and can I tell you how much I really like spending the new hour with you guys and talking about all things Salem, Kaiser, Marion, Polk County, all that good stuff and the good stuff that happens. So thank you for allowing me to share the lunch hour with you here at Newsmakers every weekday. Today is one of my favorite topics, drilling down to the Salem Convention Center as part of our interest in downtown Salem and how incredible it is that Salem has a downtown when many cities across the nation are struggling to remain their downtown vibrancy. Anyway, so we're talking about the Salem Convention Center with Chrissy Birch. She's the general manager of the Convention Center, and Kara Campuzano, who is the director of sales. And we're talking to Kara about what you offer. We've mentioned your chef a couple of times. So someone's coming to say, hey, I'm going to have an event. I want to know what kind of events a local person might book. Now, you mentioned during one of the breaks a wedding, right?
So absolutely.
It's a wedding destination. Do they do the services there?
They do the ceremony and receptions at our venue. We're so versatile with what their needs are. And our director of catering and our catering manager, they are both fantastic with event design and facility setup that...
So they'll actually design what the room looks like?
Yeah, we have software that does or assists with the design work. And of course, the bride and groom's vision for their wedding as well.
Oh, I would not have any idea. I'm glad I asked. All right, so you mentioned the catering director. Do they have a menu of things that they can order, or can they just say, this is what we want served?
Well, we'll always have a menu, but we want to make sure that our client is taken care of, and we hear them and we listen to what their needs and wants are. So if they tell us there's something special, especially with our cultural events, we work with our chef and we make it happen.
Okay, so I've actually been asked this question. Hey, where can I go? I need a boardroom for a half a day for blah, blah, blah. Is that in your wheelhouse or is that somewhere else?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned earlier, we can accommodate groups of 5 to 10 people all the way up to 800. So if you just need a half day meeting or a room for a couple hours, please reach out to us.
All right. I'm going to ask Chrissy a question here.
Yes.
Because we know that it requires Salem to band together to make something like this work, like everything else in Salem, which is not, I'm not really fond of, you know, whiners and naysayers. But people had to make a point of booking it. People had to make a point of getting their work and their business there. Did you find that to be true in the early years? I mean, I know there were, I know the mayor tried to get the Council of Mayors or something such thing there, and we were pulling some of these trade associations and professional associations in who are used to going somewhere else, right?
Right.
So did you find that's still happening where people in the community are making a point to do business to make sure you're successful?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say yes. I would also expand that a little bit with groups. Like when we became LEED certified, it became intriguing to some of our organic farmers and other groups, our recycling conventions and that sort of thing. So in addition to local people still trying to drive business to us, then some of our certifications have helped us drive new business to us because of the things that we believe in and the things that we practice.
Wow. So LEED certification.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit. The building or the operations gets the certification?
The building. So the building was built to be LEED Silver certified. The certification, for reasons that were before me, didn't happen. But about the 2.5 year mark after we opened, we went back and said, let's get this thing certified. And it was actually the hard way to do it, because instead of just getting that stamp from the beginning, we learned very quickly we had to prove all of our practices and stuff for the LEED existing building certification, which might be confusing to the listener a little bit. But I guess the short story is we got it done, and every 5 years we become re-LEED certified. And we just did that again about 18 months ago, and we got it up to the next level, which is LEED Silver.
Wow, and that drives business.
Drives business.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
It's not just something where you can plaque on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
And also it teaches, you know, with all of our recycling and all the things that we do above and beyond, the mission is part of that. Mm-hmm. It teaches good values to our employees as well. So
that's great. Yeah. I know that. Okay, so here's my next question. I don't know if you want to answer this one in the air, but are we taking business away from people that used to do it in Portland?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, okay.
Everybody
I like that.
Everybody that got together on this project, the proximity between our friends in Portland and Eugene, even Bend, Seaside, we have definitely made a mark on that competitive set for rotations of conferences. And I think we changed it. It used to be a 3 to 4 year rotation with a lot of our associations. And many, many, many of our clients have moved to a 1 to 3 year rotation because they have to move it, but they want to be in Salem.
Okay, so that's a good question. I know that I noticed that the Dorchester conference moved from the coast, and now the last couple of years they've been in Salem. So that's a good catch.
Yep.
What other kind of clients have been a good catch for you guys that make a big impact?
Absolutely. League of Oregon Cities. It is probably our largest conference. It's one of our 3 to 4 year rotations. They have what we call citywide lodging needs, so they take up most of the hotel room nights in Salem. City County Insurance Services, which is a lot of the same attendees as League of Oregon Cities, very similar as well. These conferences were never able to come into Salem before we were built.
Wow.
And now they are. And it's not just benefiting us, but the entire community.
Yeah, we were talking about that and the impact it has downtown. And, you know, frankly, a lot of people know I used to own gas stations, and people buy gas in town, and people eat and drink and even shop downtown. So that is great. Where was I going? We're talking about pulling business in from Portland or maybe from the coast and other cities. What about out of state? How do you get on the radar of some people that are coming to Oregon? And, you know, I like to remind people that we're in the capital and thump our chest a little bit, you know, and we're working at that because my follow-up question to this is going to be about commercial air service.
Yeah.
But what about people bringing people in from out of state? Are they coming to Salem?
Individual business travelers that are having just a lodging need and not a meeting space need are coming to Salem. Conventions are much harder to get because of the need of commercial airline service and the distance from our facility to the Portland airport and the cost of transportation. So we do get what I would call one-offs, maybe one conference a year that is considered a national convention or even possibly a regional. So Oregon, Washington, Montana, Idaho, or Northern California. But what you're seeing at the Salem Convention Center is your Oregon associations and your local government.
All right. So Oregon Association of Realtors, Oregon Association of Firefighters or Fire Chiefs, Oregon Association of Professional Engineers, those kinds of things, right?
That's right.
Okay. So I'm a little slow. So help me understand Oregon Association of Engineers or Land Use Surveyors or whatever. How do you get on their radar? How do you get in front of them? How do you market it? That's your job, right?
That is our job.
Wow. That's a big toll.
Our team attends industry associations that are geared towards meeting professionals and hospitality professionals. These associations meet monthly, sometimes quarterly. This is where we find a big contingency of these meeting planners that plan these large associations. So building the relationships with them, also doing cold calls or sales calls, going door to door, doing coffee calls, what we call. So we go and visit our clients or prospective clients and drop off coffee and cookies to their offices and continue that relationship we have with them.
Okay, we're going to cycle back because, you know, it's a topic here about commercial air service. But at one point you mentioned Travel Salem. And so Travel Salem is a local nonprofit. A big chunk of its money comes from those TOT, Transit Occupancy Tax dollars. And their job is to bring room nights and partnership with you guys as well. So how does that relationship work? As far as lead generation, does it go back and forth?
Absolutely. There will be times where a client will reach out to Travel Salem, and depending on the client's size or facility requirements, they'll give the convention center the lead directly, or they'll submit it to the area properties or venues that could accommodate that group. We also attend trade shows in partnership with Travel Salem, and we share the inquiries that we get.
All right, so you guys are doing well. You said you've had record years for dollars. Mm-hmm. Chrissy told us. Are you turning away business?
Mm-hmm.
And are we losing it to other communities, or is it going to some of your friendly competitors in the area?
Well, probably a little bit of both. We're a little small for some of the niche that I think we could still get here. So we're really, really well positioned for events that are 350 to 500 people multi-day events with multi-day breakout. We would love to be positioned to go for the 700, 750s. But then to answer your question more directly, if we're full, we always, if it's a good size or right size for one of our local competitors, we always work with them to refer. Mm-hmm. It's not very often that we would refer back out of town. If we would really try hard to get alternate dates and to force the fit if we could.
Okay. So who else has conference facilities? Obviously, they're not going to do 500 people. Nobody in town can do 500 people, you guys, right?
No. Well, Fairgrounds could, depending if it was the right fit. The newly remodeled Red Lion Inn, which is now the
Holiday Inn.
Thank you, Holiday Inn. They can do 250 pretty well, Kara.
Sure, about 300, but then it just depends on the size and how many breakout rooms are needed.
And then, of course, there's the, forgive me, I'm forgetting the name, down at the, where the Christmas lights are every year.
The Oregon Garden Resort.
The Oregon Garden Resort, and right down by the Ram. You guys help me out here.
The Mission Mill.
Mission Mill. Thank you. Completely blank.
All of us here are dead spice on the air radio. Thank you.
Sorry, yeah. And we definitely can do a lot of referrals back and forth with groups like that.
That is great. And I'm hoping that if they have a group that or a date that they can't accommodate, that they send it to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All ships rise. Rising tides, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go back. Airline service. You said some things you can't get because you're, 65 miles from PDX?
65 miles, not just a 1 hour drive, more of a 2 to 4 hour, honestly, depending on traffic and time of day.
All right, this is shameless opportunism to ask this question, but would you be able to get more business for the convention center if you had commercial air service?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, we're gonna take that little loop right there, and we're gonna play it over and over and over again in our efforts to get commercial air service back here to the Capitol. Appreciate you saying that. And you know, we had Scott Snyder testify at City Council actually a couple of months ago, and Scott is the general manager of the hotel side, right?
Correct.
So he's managing a hotel, and he said something I had never heard before. He says we have an exodus every Thursday,
right?
And people are checking out of Salem on Thursday so they can spend the night at a hotel near PDX for their morning flight out of town.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And it happens all over town. Mm-hmm. That's a transit occupancy tax that we lose in our community. The dollars are not left behind. They're not renting their car in Salem, right? And they're not having breakfast in Salem. They're not going out to dinner the night before in Salem or going to the movies and all those things. Huge economic impact that some people don't realize that if they were flying out of Salem, they'd stay with us.
Yes.
Right? Okay. All right. I like that. We're going to go and chase this, and we get everyone's support, and we're going to get commercial air service out of Salem. It's just a dang embarrassment. So glad to hear it will help you do your job, help you be able to sell it. All right. I had another, before we break, on our last break, one more topic about your clients. How much impact is it that we're in the middle of wine country? And do you see industry, either organizations or visitors, come by the hotel and or conference center? Either one of you can tackle that one. Does it affect
the wine industry? Yeah. Absolutely. Especially with our association clients, they usually do what we call an offsite event. So they'll bring them to the region and they want to showcase what our area has to offer. And usually one of those stops is one of our beautiful mini wineries in town and the experience of that.
Well, I hope to grow that. And when you talk about the airport, I know that there's... even a group of us who would like to see our airport in Salem renamed Willamette Valley Regional or something that ties us in the fact that we're a gateway to this beautiful wine region and also entitled into the tourism that's ever so important to having a vibrant downtown and for the convention center. Wow. She's going to start hitting me every time I say that wrong. All right. We're going to take one last break. We're going to come back and wrap up here talking about the Salem Convention Center in downtown Salem. You're listening to Newsmakers here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, where we're with you every weekday at the noon hour, and we're talking about the Salem Convention Center. So many things to talk about in this last segment. If you've missed any part of the show or previous shows, we've had some great guests, and you can find us on the podcast online at kykn.com. So feel free to download the podcast, listen to them as you travel, as you drive that long, sludgy drive, horrible drive to PDX that we hopefully someday we won't have to do, right? At KYKN.com, then the Newsmakers podcast, and you can find that. You can listen to the show again, or you can listen to previous shows. All right, so in the studio with us, we have Kara and Chrissy. I want to use their first names because they're both so charming. So Kara Campuzano, Chrissy Birch, and Chrissy runs the joint. Mm-hmm. She is the general manager, and Kara brings all the people in and makes them happy, along with all of her team, the catering manager and hospitality and designers and all those things, and the bartenders and the waiter staff and all that good stuff. Right, Kara?
That's right.
All right, so we were talking about what a great partnership it was, public-private partnership that the city did a huge part of it, bonded $33 million, by the way, which is being paid off, I think, in this next year or two, fully paid for after 15 years. So that is awesome. That'll be a lot of money freed up in the downtown core in the urban renewal district, which is a whole other conversation, what they're going to do with that money. That's going to be freed up for more investments downtown and make it even a greater place. So there's that, and how Vips Industries is managing it profitably since day one. And you said you're having record years. Mm-hmm. So there's a courtyard in the southwest corner. That the place was built to expand potentially, correct?
Yes.
So.
Our hope or our vision, especially now after the performance of the last 3 years and everything that, as you've mentioned, has been so exciting in downtown, combined with that fact that that 750 person niche is really the next niche we could go to attract more business. We are really, really hopeful that in the near future we could get an expansion out on that courtyard.
Okay. Wow. So that courtyard, and a lot of people probably drive by that corner and not realize, oh, there's some art out there.
Yes.
Right? We're going to talk about art in a minute. Honestly, I love that courtyard for Cinco de Micro.
Oh, yeah. It's a big one, huh?
So if you have not been to Cinco de Micro, folks, make a point of coming to downtown Salem that weekend in May, whichever it is that's closest to the 5th of May, right?
Right.
And you have all these microbrews from all over the state and Portland and the region. And you have ciders, my personal favorite, and wines and beers and food trucks and music.
Yep.
And what a fun day that is.
It's a great day.
There's some events you just like really look forward to coming to the conference center, convention center.
Absolutely. Right? And it's all for a great cause, too.
Yeah, and that's a fundraiser for
Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, and the Boys and Girls Club also does, aren't they also doing the Civil War auction?
Yep, yeah.
And that is huge. Salem comes out to party that night, right? And they pick one place to do it in downtown Salem. That is very cool. So it has the ability to expand. That's going to be a whole other public policy discussion since it is a public-private partnership. You guys will manage it if they'll build it,
correct?
Right? And Chrissy, you'll fill the rooms,
yeah.
Right? Okay. So we mentioned art just real briefly. I remember Janet Taylor was the mayor, mm-hmm. and she was approached about being an advocate about how to have having more downtown art.
Right.
Frankly, sometimes you go to smaller communities or communities large, and you go, and there's downtown art. And there was kind of a vacancy of that in this area. So you were part of that, Chrissy, right?
Yeah. So we had been open for our first complete year. And I don't know if you remember back then, but it was, we started off with a bang, but no furniture in the foyers or in the lobby areas, no art, the beautiful red wall, but that was about it. And there was an article written, okay, you guys are, you're doing okay, but it's kind of ugly in there, kind of comment. So anyways, long story short, we realized really quickly for that special facility, we needed special art. There was no real monies to do that. And so at that time, Mayor Taylor and Mary Lou Zeke and myself got together and we figured out how to get real art in the facility. We hosted the first Mayor's Invitational where we acquired our first real piece of art. And from there going, I guess that's about 13 years forward, maybe 12 years forward. Every year we've been able to either been acquiring a piece of art through the Gain Loss Reserve, mm-hmm. or there's been donations, loans. There's a fabulous partnership with the Hallie Ford Museum. So some of their larger pieces now that they don't have space for, we show. The city's collection, we rotate in and out. And, boy, I've kind of lost count, but out in the courtyard we must have seven or eight pieces, and in the whole downstairs, every wall and every corner either now has fabulous local paintings or artist paintings or sculpture around the facility.
Wow. So back in the courtyard, that's exterior art, right? You said how many pieces?
I think I have, I'm not exactly sure what I just said, but I think we have six out there. We moved the cube. Well, we didn't. A nonprofit, OASF, moved the cube down by the new Ritter. So I think maybe there's six now.
Okay. Yeah, and it's nice to see some art actually showing up on Salem Streetscape as well.
Super exciting.
So that's a nice bonus. Yep. I'm going to take more time next time I'm in the conference center, convention center. The convention center. Dave Bourne is looking at me and goes like, why can't you get this right? I have to work with these rank amateurs. So old habits die hard. So what a great success story that was. Thank you to Janet Taylor and thank you to Mary Lou Zeke well. And I don't know if Mary Lou is listening, but we miss you downtown.
Yeah.
It was so great to have her gallery downtown. And it's honestly, you see this rebirth, this renaissance of downtown where you could walk across the street from Conference Center and see live comedy. Right.
Yeah.
And you can hit the Grand Theater and see live theater. And, you know, there's just so many more opportunities downtown. And that's coming with your success and making actually, it comes down to energy and people. So people being there, the energy and the activity, and then that kind of generates and builds on itself. So I would give some credit to you guys in terms of the people you're bringing in. And, of course, the downtown housing increase has really helped. And we talked about Union Gospel Mission moving, and that entire block is up for redevelopment. The block by Pioneer Trust and U.S. Bank, the Lead and Bush branch, that is a block that's up for redevelopment. There's so many exciting things. It must be exciting to be where you are even 15 years later and think, what is this convention center going to be like in 15 years from now?
Absolutely.
Right? We might need two of them. Right?
Oh, gosh.
All right. Before we run out of time, Kara, how do people reach you? I know you're busy, but you never want to turn around somebody who wants to come and do some business, right?
Never.
How do they reach you?
They can go to our website, salemconventioncenter.org. They can call us at 503-589-1700, or they can reach us at sales, S-A-L-E-S, at salemconventioncenter.org.
Wow, that's a lot. Say that again. Sales?
Sales at salemconventioncenter.org. .org.
Or they just may just Google you, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking
or
for...
Or walk in.
I think, like visitors. If you haven't been there, then make a point of booking something there. If you haven't been there but just want to check it out, come do a walkthrough. And if you belong to an association, think about talking to the association about putting Salem on your rotation, right? Bring people to Salem, show off what we've got. I'm sure you and Travel Salem can tell them all the opportunities they have and things that Salem will showcase, right?
Yes.
So do we get, we've only got like 1 minute and I always come up with more things to talk about, but it's in a historic district. We have a historic downtown. We have a couple different historic neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Do you have tourists and people who come with historic district and historic tourism in mind?
Oh, boy. For the convention center, not necessarily to my knowledge, but I would think down at the Grand Hotel, people would definitely be maybe a weekend visitor that might be interested in.
All right. We're going to have to go here. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and Dave's been quiet today, but he is keeping us in line. At Newsmakers, where we're talking about local institutions and one of our favorite ones, Salem Convention Center. So I want to thank Kara Compenzano about being here today and Chrissy Birch, the general manager. Chrissy's the general manager. Kara's the director of sales. And reach out to them. Little known fact, I was walking downtown the other day, and there's one of those beautiful buildings with a plaque on it, a historic district. I made that motion on city council to get those plaques up there so people could walk downtown to do a walking tour. Thanks for being with us. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live local talk that matters to you. From the Capital Auto Group Studios. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.